Please turn to the book of Ephesians, and we want to read chapter 5 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul was the inspired writer. This is from his letter that he sent to the congregation that met in the city of Ephesus. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. This verse contains a very important admonition. Now, you know that the thought continues into the very next verse, but we're concerned about the principle that's revealed in the opening words of this particular passage. But notice that this admonition relates to certain people. It relates to those who have become God's children. And of course, it won't hurt us to be reminded of how it is that we become God's children. That's something we need to do on a regular basis. The Bible teaches in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28, exactly how it is that we get into Christ so that we can become God's children. Galatians 3, starting at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. We become God's children by faith in Christ. Of course, faith in Christ includes baptism into Him. As far as I know, there are only two verses in the Bible that teach us how we get into Christ. This is one of them. The other is Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And both scriptures teach us that we're baptized into the Lord. When we're baptized into the Lord, His precious blood cleanses us of all sin. We are added to the Lord's church, according to Acts 2 and verse 47. And we enjoy the privilege of being children of God. What a special privilege that is. But the admonition given in Ephesians 5 and verse 1 relates to those who are God's children. And we've just pointed out from Galatians 3 how it is that we become God's children. Well, after we become God's children, we have a very important responsibility that is revealed in this verse. We are to be followers of Him. And as we endeavor to do so, we are to approach this matter as His dear children. When we become God's children, we're to follow Him. Now, wouldn't it just make common sense that we ought to study His Word carefully to know as much about God as we possibly can? If we're going to be followers of Him, then we certainly need to know what the Bible teaches about Him. God possesses many wonderful characteristics. We certainly can't consider all of them in one lesson, so we're going to have to be more specific. Today, we want to concentrate on one of God's characteristics, and we're to imitate Him. And that characteristic is kindness. As I observe different things that take place today and observe the behavior of people, sometimes I see kindness being demonstrated. And I enjoy seeing that, don't you? But unfortunately, we also see many times a lack of kindness being demonstrated. Just yesterday afternoon, I had come to our meeting place to bring the bulletins, and I was going back home. And just a short distance from here, a young fellow on a bicycle had some kind of a run-in with a person in a car. I don't know what happened because I didn't see it. All I know is that the young man was screaming at the person in the car. And it seemed to me that the person in the car was responding back. And I thought, I don't believe there's an abundance of kindness being shown there. Well, we see things like that on a regular basis. As a matter of fact, we see so much of it that if we're not careful, it can rub off on us. But remember, as God's children, we had the responsibility of being followers of Him. And one of God's many wonderful characteristics is that He is kind. So for a little while today, we want to concentrate on the fact that we are to, as followers of God, we're to develop kindness and we're to demonstrate it. I suppose the first point we need to make is that God is kind. That's well established in the Bible. And of course, as His dear children, we're going to strive to be followers of Him. God is kind. Well, that would just make sense that we'd want to be kind ourselves. But let's establish the fact from Scriptures that God is kind. Let's turn to Psalm 117. This is a very short psalm of praise, but I want you to notice something that's mentioned. Psalm 117. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, praise Him, all ye people. Now notice this, for His merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord. Of course, there are several admonitions given in this psalm for God's people to offer praise unto Him, and we're given several reasons why He deserves our praise. One is that His merciful kindness is great toward us. And that's a good reason for offering praise unto God. But right now, we're concerned about establishing the fact that God is kind because we're going to be followers of Him, according to Ephesians 5 and verse 1. So God's kindness is declared in Psalm 117 as well as many other verses. Let's notice how the Lord's kindness is described. Not only is it declared in the Bible, but God's kindness is described. Let's look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 35 and notice how the Lord described the kindness of God. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Our Lord said, "But love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest." Now notice this. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now in this verse, Jesus was teaching the Lord's followers the right way to respond to enemies, the right way to treat them. And in doing so, He talked about God's kindness. And He showed that God is kind to good people as well as to those who are grateful to Him. But our Lord went on to say that God is also kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Now, why would the Lord say that? He was describing God's kindness because we're to imitate Him. Not only is God kind to those that we would consider to be deserving of it, but God is kind to those who are actually described as being unthankful and evil. Let's also turn to Titus chapter 3 and notice how God's kindness is described. Titus chapter 3, let's read verses 3 through 7. Remember that Titus was a preacher serving on the island of Crete. He and the Apostle Paul were very close. Paul wrote this letter to Titus to give him some instructions concerning his personal conduct as well as things that he was to include in his teaching. The people who lived in Crete did not have a good reputation, but the gospel was taken to Crete. A number of people were converted to the Lord. Now Titus was responsible for teaching them how to live as God's people. Titus 3, let's start at verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, notice what's mentioned, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Earlier we talked about how to become God's children from Galatians chapter 3. These verses go right along with what we've already covered. Notice that Paul describes someone before he becomes a Christian. And that's a very unsavory description in verse 3. But the kindness of God allows us to overcome that. And God demonstrated his kindness by sending Jesus to shed his precious blood so that we could have forgiveness. We received that forgiveness when we received the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. That sounds a whole lot like the new birth, doesn't it? Jesus said that we must be born again in John chapter 3. The man that he was speaking to was Nicodemus. He didn't understand. So Jesus went on to explain to him what the new birth consists of, being born of water and of the Spirit. These verses go right along with what the Lord said to Nicodemus about how to become a member of God's kingdom. Well, notice that God's kindness is mentioned. If it weren't for God's kindness, we wouldn't have the hope of becoming his children. Well, God is certainly kind, and as his dear children, we're to be followers of him. Now, remember the admonition that we began with in Ephesians 5 in verse 1. As dear children, we're to be followers of God. That implies that we need to know as much about him as we possibly can. Well, something that we're emphasizing today is the fact that God is kind. Once we understand that, we're going to strive to be kind to ourselves. A little earlier, I was thinking about this matter of following someone or imitating someone. I haven't thought about this in many years. But when I was a kid, I played baseball. And to help me improve my hitting, my daddy bought me a vinyl album by Stan Musial. Now that may not mean a thing to you, but when I was a kid, Stan Musial was one of the best hitters in the major league, known as Stan the Man. Well, if we kids could imitate Stan the Man, then we'd be good hitters, supposedly. It didn't always work, but we had to have someone to try to imitate. I wish I still had that album. It would probably be worth something today. I don't know whatever happened to it. But you see, if you're going to imitate someone, you have to know as much as you possibly can about that individual. Where we're to be followers of God, we're to be imitators of God, we need to strive to know as much about him as we possibly can. One thing that the Bible emphasizes is the fact that God is kind. Well, I think we've established that. Let's look at some other verses, though, that actually specifically teach God's children to be kind. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4 and read verses 31 and 32. Now, we began by reading the first verse of chapter 5, but notice the last two verses of chapter 4. This goes right on in to the fact that as dear children, we're to strive to be followers of God. Ephesians 4, verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Verse 31 teaches us that certain things oppose kindness. What are we to do with those things? Well, the Bible says, let them all be put away. We have to eliminate things that would be a hindrance to kindness. Some of those hindrances are listed for us in verse 31. Having taken care of that, the Bible teaches us to be kind one to another. That's a direct admonition. And it relates to those who have become God's children. But not only are God's people to be kind, we're to put away everything that would oppose kindness. You see, the Bible deals with both sides of the issue. It teaches us what God wants, but it also teaches us how to accomplish that. That involves eliminating certain things that would be hindrances, but it also involves positive things that will help us to carry out the particular admonition that we're concerned about. Let's look also at Colossians chapter 3 and notice similar instructions are given to us. Colossians 3 and verse 8 says, "But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, out of your mouth." Well, once again, those are some things that we're to put off. These things are to be eliminated. Well, one reason why is because they're enemies to kindness. But let's look at verses 12 and 13. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ also forgave you, so do ye also." Notice the same basic instructions that we've already read in Ephesians 4 are included in Colossians chapter 3. The Bible specifically teaches God's children to be kind. Now, we know that we're to strive to be kind because God is kind. As His dear children, we're going to be followers or imitators of Him. Well, since He's kind, then we are to be kind. But the Bible's very direct. It teaches us very clearly that God's children are to be kind. Let's notice one other passage, 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 7. Now, beginning at verse 5, the Christian graces are listed out for us. There are seven of them. And the Apostle Peter teaches us to strive to develop these and grow in them with all diligence. That means we're to put our very best effort into developing these wonderful graces. I want you to notice what the next to the last one is. Verse 7, "And to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity or love." One of the Christian graces is brotherly kindness, and that's to be developed with all diligence. Now, why is it so important for us to develop all of these graces? Let's continue at verse 8. "For if these things," speaking of the graces, "be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." So not only does Peter teach us to develop these graces with all diligence, but he shows how we would be blessed as a result of doing that. He also covers the negative side. He said someone who pays no attention to these graces is blind. He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. But those who strive to develop these graces with all diligence have the assurance that we won't fall. Is it possible for a child of God to fall? Yes, it is. However, there is something we can do to be, as we often hear today, proactive. We can develop these graces with all diligence, and we won't have to worry about falling. You see, that's a lifelong process. You don't ever get to the point where you say, "Well, I think I've developed enough brotherly kindness." No, We devote our whole lives to growing in all of these graces. But we're concerned about one of them, which is brotherly kindness. Well, a kind person possesses a pleasant or a benevolent disposition. A kind person is considerate and helpful. And a kind person is compassionate and concerned about other people. In one of the Lord's parables, he illustrated what is involved in loving your neighbor as yourself. It's called the parable of the Good Samaritan. That was the man in the parable, the Samaritan I'm talking about, is a fictitious character. Now, many passages in the Bible actually deal with people who really lived. They're even named. The Good Samaritan, as we call him, is a fictitious character. Jesus was talking about someone for the purpose of illustrating a very important lesson about what's involved in loving your neighbor as yourself. Remember, there was someone who approached the Lord, a lawyer, and he had motives that were not good. He was looking for something he could use against the Lord, and he wanted to know which was the great commandment. Well, Jesus answered and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Well, this lawyer didn't like the fact that Jesus kindly put him in his place. So he said, and who is my neighbor? I could almost hear the sarcasm coming from that lawyer's mouth. Now, he was a real individual. I don't know his name, but he actually came to the Lord. Jesus then presented the parable of the Good Samaritan to illustrate what's involved in loving your neighbor as yourself. I can tell you something about the Samaritan. Although he was a fictitious character, the Lord didn't name him. He was kind. Now, how do we know that? It was through his actions. First, he was a Samaritan. We believe that implies that the man who was beaten, robbed, and left for dead was a Jew. There was great animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews. A lot of animosity. But this Samaritan came along and found a Jewish man who was in need. And Jesus said he had compassion on him. In other words, he was kind. He gave the man some first aid. He tended to his wounds. But then he took him to an inn and made provision for the man to be cared for in more detail. He paid the innkeeper to take care of the man. He gave him some money and he said, if I owe you any more, when I come back, I'll pay you. There are many things about the Samaritan that we don't know, but it's safe to assume he was kind. He had a benevolent disposition. He was concerned about his fellow man, and he did what he could to help him. Now, remember early in the parable, there was a priest who came by. He went on the other side. There was a Levite who came by. He looked at the man and went on his way. They didn't get involved. There's something I'll tell you about those men. They were not kind. But then the Samaritan came along. He demonstrated kindness. Do you think that maybe the man who was beaten, robbed, and left for dead learned an important lesson about Samaritans on that occasion? I figure he did. Well, the Bible teaches us as God's children to be kind. Now, we know that we're to be kind because we're to be followers of God as dear children. God is kind. But the Bible specifically teaches God's children to be kind. Well, let's consider some additional principles that will help us. For one thing, we have to possess the right kind of love. Let's look at the great love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We want to notice a statement found in verse 4. Now, there are 15 characteristics listed of love. About half of them are positive, about half of them are negative. In other words, there are certain ways in which true love does behave. There are certain ways in which true love does not behave. Well, let's notice one characteristic of love. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Love suffereth long. Now, I want you to notice what's number 2 on the list. And is kind. To be kind, we have to possess the right kind of love. Now, some people talk about love, but they don't show it. John teaches us, and he's the apostle of love. He says, let us not only love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, love is to be shown. One characteristic of love is that it's kind. Every once in a while, Teresa and I will reflect upon some people that we've known over the years. And quite often, we'll reflect upon people that actually knew me when I was born. And about how kind they were. I can remember one lady, though, that we went to visit quite often. This is many years ago in Jacksonville. A lot of people didn't want to go see her because she really wasn't very kind. She really needed to work on her disposition. But she had gone through a lot of things in her lifetime, and, you know, we could try to be understanding. But I actually tried something with her. Whenever she'd want to complain about everything going on in her life, we'd just talk about things that were positive and uplifting and so forth. And you know, she'd almost change her tone. But she found herself getting out of her comfort zone. She went right back to it. Well, I thought that was interesting. But I can tell you one thing. That dear lady, even though she could not leave her home, when we got married, saw to it that we had a very nice wedding gift. You see, a little bit of kindness made quite an impression on that lady. Now, frankly, a lot of people didn't want to be around her because she wasn't very kind, but she responded to kindness. Regardless of how others act, we're to act with kindness. Well, let's look at 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. This is still a description of love. Love doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Well, to be kind, it's imperative that we possess the right kind of love. Love is kind, but then love is not easily provoked. I believe we live in a day and time when a lot of people are easily provoked. Well, we have to avoid that. True Christian love is not easily provoked. Well, to be kind, we must not provoke people. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 26. Galatians 5 and verse 26 says, let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, to be kind, we must avoid the practice of provoking people. Something else that will help us when it comes to being kind is kindness is often demonstrated through our words. Now, the lack of kindness can also be demonstrated through words. One of my favorite sections of scripture in the Bible is Proverbs chapter 31, where King Lemuel gave a lesson that his mama taught him about the value of a virtuous woman. In Proverbs 31 and verse 26, the virtuous woman, in her tongue, is the law of kindness. What a wonderful statement that is. King Lemuel's mother taught him a valuable lesson. At the beginning of the chapter, we find that she taught him to avoid certain things because they would harm his ability to rule as a king. But then she taught him the value of a woman of virtue. In other words, as he sought a wife to be queen, he needed to seek out a virtuous woman. How would he be able to find one? Well, there's quite a description given. One thing that's said about her is in her tongue is the law of kindness. Well, kindness, as well as the lack of it, can be demonstrated through our words. So we have to be careful about the words that we speak. Let's look and see what James had to say. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This is some good advice concerning the way that we're to use our tongues. James 1, verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Notice that while we're to be swift to hear, we're to be slow to speak. Even slower to wrath. Why is it so important that we follow those instructions? Because man's wrath does not work God's righteousness. Well, kindness can be demonstrated through our words. You know, you can show kindness, though, without ever saying a word. But kindness can be demonstrated through the words that we speak. And you know, we need to remember that kindness, as well as the lack of it, just might affect the way that others treat us. Now, we want to be treated with kindness, don't we? Well, it's important that we treat others with kindness. In the Bible, we have an example of a man who did not demonstrate kindness, and he paid for it. Let's go to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 10. Now let me remind us of the situation that existed. Solomon had ruled as the king of Israel. Solomon passed away. His son Rehoboam became king. And the aged men gave Rehoboam some advice. They advised him to be kind to his people. Well, he didn't, and he paid for it. Let's look at verse 7. Now, this is the aged man speaking to Rehoboam. I'm assuming he's a young man. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. Now, that's some advice coming from the aged men. They were giving Rehoboam, the king, some good advice. He said, you be kind to the people. They'll respond to you in a good way. Unfortunately, there were some younger men who gave him just the opposite advice. And he listened to them. Let's continue at verse 8. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him, and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him. And he said unto them, What advice give ye, that ye may return, that we may return answer to this people which have spoken to me, saying, Ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us? And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, Thus shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, Thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, My little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. For whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpions. Now that's the advice that Rehoboam chose to follow. The older men said, Be kind to the people. They will serve you faithfully. The young men said, If you think my dad Solomon was a heavy taxer, you ain't seen nothing yet. Basically, that's what he was saying. That's unfortunate, but Rehoboam listened to the wrong young men. Look at verse 16. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken unto them, the people answered the king, saying, What portion have we in David? And we have none inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your tents, O Israel, and now, David, see to thine own house. So all Israel went to their tents. The mighty nation of Israel divided. Isn't it sad that Rehoboam didn't listen to the right advice? The advice was, be kind to the people. He chose not to do so. Now, the point that I want to make from that is that kindness, as well as the lack of it, will affect the way that others treat us. Now, I'm very much aware, as you are, that you can be kind to certain people, and that's not going to have an impact upon them. Jesus was always kind. Some people took him and nailed him to a cross. So you have to understand that when we are relating these general principles, it doesn't always work that way. But in a general way, kindness, as well as the lack of it, will affect the way that other people treat us. Well, we want to be treated with kindness, don't we? It's imperative that we treat others with kindness. What we have to do is make sure that we're kind. If someone else is not kind in return, we just have to make sure it's their fault, not ours. Well, a key to being kind is having the right things in the heart. Now, Solomon, Rehoboam's dad, said, As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. To be kind, it's imperative that we have the right things in the heart. When things are in the heart, such as envy, uncontrolled anger, hatred, evil speaking, holding grudges, and taking vengeance, kindness is going to be lacking. However, if in the heart there are certain things such as courtesy, compassion, mercy, meekness, patience, humility, and forgiveness, there will be an abundance of kindness. So to be kind as God wants us to be, we have to have the right things in the heart. But as we endeavor to be followers of God, as dear children, let us be kind. I believe that that will have a great impression in our world today, because, as you know, there's often a lack of kindness demonstrated. But regardless of what the rest of the world does, as God's children, as his dear children, we're to strive to be kind. Well, we talked earlier about how God demonstrated his kindness. He made it possible for us to have the forgiveness of sins and have the hope of eternal life in heaven. But the Lord tells us what he requires of us in order to receive forgiveness. When Jesus gave the Great Commission to his apostles, he told them to preach the gospel to every creature. That's Mark 16 and verse 15. Then he gave his requirements in verse 16. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. If you'd like to respond to the invitation today, we ask you to come forward while we stand and sing the first verse of the song that's been selected.